ఆధ్యాత్మిక
స్పిరిచువల్
మ్యాటర్స్
అనుశ్రవణాత్
ఫ్రమ్ హియరింగ్
నామ
సంకీర్తనాత్
ఫ్రమ్
చాంటింగ్ ద హోలీ
నేమ్
చ అండ్ మే మై ఆర్జవేన
విత్
స్ట్రేట్ ఫార్వర్డ్ బిహేవియర్ ఆర్య సంఘేన విత్ అసోసియేషన్ ఆఫ్ సెయింట్లీ పర్సన్స్ నిరహంక్రియయా
విదౌట్
ఫాల్స్ ఈగో తథా దస్. ట్రాన్స్లేషన్: అ డివోటీ షుడ్ ఆల్వేస్ ట్రై టు హియర్ అబౌట్ స్పిరిచువల్ మ్యాటర్స్. A devotee should always try to hear about spiritual matters and should always utilize his time in chanting the holy name of the Lord. His behavior should always be straightforward and simple. His behavior should always be straightforward and simple. And although he is not envious, but friendly to everyone, he should avoid the company of persons who are not spiritually advanced. And although he is not envious but friendly to everyone, he should avoid the company of persons who are not spiritually advanced. Purport: in order to advance in spiritual understanding, one has to hear from authentic sources about spiritual knowledge. One can understand the reality of spiritual life by following strict regulative principles and by controlling the senses. To have control, it is necessary that one be non-violent and truthful, refrain from stealing, abstain from sex life, and possess only that which is absolutely necessary for keeping the body and soul together. One should not eat more than necessary. He should not collect more paraphernalia than necessary. He should not talk unnecessarily with common men. And he should not follow the rules and regulations without purpose. He should follow the rules and regulations so that he can make actual spiritual advancement. There are 18 qualifications mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, amongst which simplicity is one. One should be without pride. One should not demand unnecessarily respect from others. And one should be non-violent. Amanitvam, adambitvam, ahimsa. One should be very tolerant and simple. One should accept the spiritual master and one should control the senses. These are mentioned here and in the Bhagavad Gita as well. One should hear from authentic sources how to advance in spiritual life. Such instructions should be taken from the Acharya and should be assimilated. It is especially mentioned herein, Nama Sankirtanacha. One should chant the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, either individually or with others. Lord Chaitanya has given special stress to chanting of these holy names of the Lord as the basic principle of spiritual advancement. Another word used here is arjavena, meaning without diplomacy. A devotee should not make plans out of self-interest. Of course, preachers sometimes have to make some plan to execute the mission of the Lord under proper guidance. But regarding personal self-interest, a devotee should always be without diplomacy. And he should avoid the company of persons who are not advancing in spiritual life. Another word is arya. Aryans are persons who are advancing in the knowledge of Krishna consciousness as well as in material prosperity. Aryans are persons who are advancing in knowledge of Krishna consciousness as well as material prosperity. The difference between the Aryans and non-Aryan, the Sur and Asur, is in their standards of spiritual advancement. Association with persons who are not spiritually advanced is forbidden. Lord Chaitanya advised Asat Sang Tyag. One should avoid persons who are attached to temporary asat. Is one who is too materially attached, who is not a devotee of the Lord, and who is too attached to women or enjoyable material things. Such a person, according to Vaishnava philosophy, is a persona non grata. A devotee should not be proud of his acquisitions. the symptoms of a devotee are meekness and humility. Although spiritually very advanced, he will always remain meek and humble, as Kaviraj Goswami and all the other Vaishnavas have taught us by personal example. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught that one should be humbler than the grass on the street and more tolerant than the tree. One should not be proud or falsely puffed up. In this way, one will surely advance in spiritual life. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripa Tamaham Vande Shri Guru Dinatarinam Vanchakalpataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyayavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Satho Jayamudhirayet Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavatir Naishtiki Hare Krishna. Adhyatmikan Anushravanat Nama Sankirtanat Chame Arjaven Arya Sangena Nirahang Kriyaya Tatha. A devotee should always try to hear about spiritual matters and should always utilize his time to chanting the holy name of the Lord. His behavior should be straightforward and simple, and although he is not envious but friendly to everyone, he should avoid the company of persons who are not spiritually advanced. So, we are in the 29th chapter of the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is titled as Explanation of Devotional Service. Just to give a context on how this verse has come upon in the conversation between Lord Kapila and his mother Devahuti. So in the beginning of this chapter, Devahuti acknowledges the previous conversations that her son Lord Kapila has enlightened her on. She acknowledges that she has heard now about the workings and material nature in general. She acknowledges that her son has given her the tenets of Sankhya philosophy. And having acknowledged that, she is now requesting him to explain the Bhakti Yoga or the path of devotional service. She also acknowledges that she would like to hear this path of Bhakti or devotional service because this is the ultimate end to all philosophical systems. So having heard Sankhya Yoga, she still understands that she hasn't heard everything. So she's asking about Bhakti Yoga. Not only that, she's saying that please enlighten me on birth, disease, old age and death, and please talk to me about calamities. Usually people say shubh shubh bolo, we say in Hindi. Don't talk about calamities. But Devahuti is requesting Lord Kapila, please talk to me about calamities. Please talk to me about eternal time. Please talk to me about various activities in Krishna consciousness, in Bhakti Yoga. For I seek detachment and liberation from this material world by seeking your shelter. Mayavadis also seek detachment and liberation. But here she is saying, I am seeking detachment and liberation, the path of detachment and liberation by seeking your shelter. By seeking the personal shelter of the personality of Godhead. So, having heard this request from his mother, Lord Kapildev now explains the multifarious paths of devotional service. In his response to his mother, he is saying that devotional service can be executed under the principles of the modes of material nature as well as above the three modes of material nature. Both are possible. So he explains in that process that devotional service itself can be executed in the mode of ignorance or in the mode of darkness. Devotional service can be executed in the mode of passion. Devotional service can be executed in the mode of goodness, and devotional service can be executed in the transcendental mode of goodness or in Vasudeva Sattvam. As an example, he says that devotional service which is performed with pride, with lot of violence, in an angry mood or in a grumpy mood, that is devotional service in the mode of darkness or in the mode of ignorance. That devotional service which is performed with ulterior motive, where our motive is to enjoy some material benefits or to gain some prestige and fame or to get opulence or to generate respect for ourselves through others, such devotional service he calls as in the mode of passion, and he calls such mentality as a separatist mentality. Obviously, separatist mentality is a mentality which is not aligned with the purpose or the mood of the Lord. So he explains that. Further, he goes on to say that higher than that is devotional service which is done where we offer the results of our activities unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he says such devotional service is in the mode of goodness. And in that context, Prabhupada gives a purport on Varnashrama Dharma. What is the goal of Varnashrama Dharma? At the end of the day, is to gradually elevate oneself from the mode of ignorance to the mode of goodness. From then the mode of transcendental goodness will dawn upon. However, Prabhupada writes that even people who strictly follow Varnashrama Dharma for the sake of Varnashrama Dharma, who seek emancipation or liberation from the bonds of birth, disease, old age and death, are still seeking something. So therefore there is that personal interest, that I want liberation. I want to get out of the cycle of birth, disease, old age and death. I have realized that this material world is not a very palatable place, and I want to be eternally happy. I have understood the wisdom that is not available in the material world, and therefore I will follow a process where I can be eternally happy in the spiritual world. So everywhere there is that motive of what I can get. So there is still that pursuit of liberation even within the tenets of Varnashrama Dharma. So Prabhupada says that there is still that personal self-interest which is there of liberation. And in that context, Prabhupada quotes Rupa Goswami's famous verse, Anyabhrishta Shunyam Jnana Karmadi Anavartam Anukulena Krishna Anusilanam Bhakti Rutama, where Prabhupada emphasizes that devotional service which is beyond the three modes of goodness doesn't have any purpose, not even our self-interest of liberation. The purpose is only to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And therein follows very logically verse 13, the famous verse which says, Salokya Sarishti Samipya Sarupyena Ekatvam Apiyuta Diyamanam Na Grihanati Viramat Sevanam Janaha, which means a devotee does not even aspire for the different kinds of liberation. Salokya, being in the same planet of the Lord. Sarupya, having the same form of the Lord. What to speak of merging into the effulgence of the Lord. Ekatvam. A devotee does not care for any of this. Because diyamanam na grihanati vinamat sevanam janah. Wherever there is no service unto the Lord, a devotee is not interested in any type of liberation. If such liberation comes in the way of service, then the devotee prefers service over liberation. And we have seen that Srimad Bhagavatam in so many chapters is underscoring this mood of a devotee. For example, even in the Chitraketu pastime, we see where Chitraketu is actually cursed by the wife of Lord Shiva, where she is thinking that he is laughing at her husband, and she curses him saying that he will become a demon, and Chitraketu just smiles. He doesn't say, why did you curse me? My intentions, he doesn't try to justify. He doesn't use the word but my intentions were like that, but I didn't mean it. He doesn't say anything. He says, it's okay. If you want, if that's the way that the Lord is intending for me to serve as a demon fighting against Indra, so be it. So that is the mood. And there that verse is again underscored. Narayana parasarvena kutaschana bibhyati swarga apavarga narakesha apitulyata darshanam. Devotee doesn't care whether he gets apavarga or swarga or narakesh. It doesn't matter. At the end of the day, devotee is only interested in service. So this is what is happening in this chapter. So ultimately, what is the conclusion? The conclusion is that Kapila Muni is telling that there are 27 multiplied by 3, 81 combinations, permutations and combinations in which way a devotee can perform devotional service under the three modes of material nature. However, because there are so many permutations and combinations, and we are all caught up doing our bhakti in these three modes of material nature, he concludes by saying we can get rid of being under the influence of the three modes of material nature by performing pure devotional service. Otherwise, as long as we don't do that, we will be entrapped. Our devotional service will still be subjugated within the three modes of material nature. Now, having given that in principle conclusion to her about devotional service, Lord Kapila Dev from verse 15 starts giving practical instructions on how to do bhakti such that we can transcend the three modes of material nature and come to the platform of pure devotional service. So it's very similar to the Nectar of Instruction book. Whatever is coming now is very similar to how Rupa Goswami, right from the beginning, verse 1 onwards, instruction, 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 till the end of Nectar of Instruction. So this is full of now practical instructions. Thus, as a part of these instructions, Lord Kapila Dev is talking about regularly coming to the temple to take darshan of the deities, worshipping the Lord, being in a prayerful mood, not only worshipping the Lord out of a sense of performing a roster duty, but also being in a prayerful and worshipable mood when we are worshipping the deities, seeing all the jivas as spiritual, serving the Guru, which Gopalesh Prabhu very nicely explained yesterday to all of us, dealings with various levels of devotees, and so on and so forth. Now, in continuation of these instructions which he is giving, that is where today's verse comes, where the focus of today's verse is on regulation, on hearing, on chanting, on association of devotees and on behavior. So through these instructions, Lord Kapila Dev is encompassing the three important aspects of bhakti: sadhana, seva and sadachar. The practice of Krishna consciousness, the service in Krishna consciousness and behavior in Krishna consciousness. So if you see Srila Prabhupada's purports here, Prabhupada first talks about the importance of following a regulated lifestyle. So again, coming back to what is the goal of Kapila Dev's instructions to Devahuti? How to go beyond the 81 permutations and combinations of doing devotional service under the three modes of material nature, and how to transcend that and actually be situated in transcendental bhakti. So the first aspect is, which facilitates us, is following a regulated lifestyle. So Srila Prabhupada has already given the four regulative principles to all of us: no meat eating, no intoxication, no illicit sex and gambling. Of course, no meat eating is very easy for most devotees. So we see that's easy part. Gambling, easy. Intoxication, easy. But illicit sex, that's a challenge. That's a challenge in any ashram. So therefore, this kind of a challenge, a devotee has to be always conscious of. So even if a devotee is not engaged in gross illicit sex, there is also a desire to subtly flirt, or there is a desire to impress the opposite sex by performing devotional service very nicely. For example, fantastic kirtan, and then a person is looking around that way. So then that's an example of where the mind is not on the Lord. But how I can change my raga very nicely, such that I can then see who all are very appreciative of the fact that how good a singer I am. So subtly, our consciousness can take away us into the realm of subtle sex. The desire to impress others is nothing but subtle sex. So a devotee has to be very conscious, and we have to remind ourselves that we have this tendency to keep on hearing from those Vaishnavas who are Nirmat Saranam, who are completely free from the desire to impress anyone, whose only desire is to do anything and everything for the satisfaction of the Lord. So continuously hearing, and we will come to that. We will come to that topic of hearing very soon. So following four regulative principles is much more than simply just abstaining from the gross activities which are mentioned in the four regulative principles. Also, Prabhupada talks about moderation. Moderation in eating, sleeping, and in our whole lifestyle. The way we live our lives. Everywhere there should be moderation. So, a devotee, especially as for grihastha, this is very important. Because as grihasthas, our lifestyle is a direct function of our income. And it's a big challenge. Initially, when a grihastha starts as a devotee, all the grihastha wants is, okay, even if I live in a rented house near the temple, that is fine. Even if it's a small house, I will use it. Then obviously, then it starts, okay, why can't we have our own house? Then we start, why can't we have a second house? Because, you know, so much of money is going in tax. Now, why money is going in tax? Because income is increasing. Then the second house. Now, usually the second house, when it is purchased, then the second house is always purchased with a stretch target. It is never, you know, within our salaries. Okay, so then that goes on and on and on, and then that bondage comes, and then when the second house, as soon as we purchase that house, then the news in the age newspaper is that a downturn and melting down and something like that, they'll scare you, right? And then next day we are even over submissive to our bosses after that, because obviously there is a mortgage there, no? So anything and everything they ask us to do hard labor, we will accept very humbly, because then that, no, second house also has been purchased, then second car will come, third car comes, grammar school, it just goes on and on and on. And then the lifestyle increases. So obviously, we have to keep ourselves in check. Otherwise, maya jhapati adare. In Hindi, we say, sumudi mein lege gaya. Pata hi nahi chala. You know, you never know. Very nicely, it will take you away from the goal of life. We will never even realize where we are. After a few months or few years, we will realize, hang on, you know, I'm going somewhere else now. You know, I started somewhere and I'm going somewhere. So always, we have to keep ourselves in check. So, constantly taking shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam, hearing from saintly personalities, keeps us in check. Otherwise, if we don't hear regularly, then we just drift somewhere without our own knowledge. So following these basic principles, four regulative principles, and following a simple lifestyle, Prabhupada cautions us that we should not follow it simply for the sake of following it. For example, if we do any austerities, we should not do the austerity simply for the sake of following it. If we do it simply for the sake of following it is called as Niyamagra. It actually destroys our devotional life. Rupa Goswami says that in Nectar of Instruction. Atyahara prayasascha prajalpo Niyamagra. Shatbir Bhaktir Vinasheti. So, the rules and regulations are meant to follow the ultimate golden rule, which is always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. And through the following of rules and regulations, we should not hurt other devotees or not look down upon other devotees simply because we are able to follow the rules and regulation and others are not able to follow it as much as we are able to do it. Because when we do that, then Krishna certainly puts us in a situation in our life such that we have to compromise on how we live our life. And that happens to every devotee. And after once the devotee gets that slap, then the devotee becomes very humble and still follows the rules and regulations, but without pride component in following the rules and regulations. The activity is still the same, but the pride has gone out now. So, the golden rule is to always remember Krishna and not forget Krishna. So Prabhupada starts this purport by underscoring the importance of regulation. So, without following that regulation, we cannot elevate ourselves to the higher modes of material nature. What to speak of going beyond that. Now, how can we get the inspiration, the impetus, the motivation to follow the four regulative principles, to live a simple lifestyle, to control the senses? Where do we get that inspiration? So therein comes the importance of hearing, Shravanam. Now, hearing is so important that in fact hearing is the most important item of bhakti. Often, you've seen Srimad Bhagavatam in various sections. Some sections Prabhupada says chanting is the most important. Some sections Prabhupada says hearing is the most important. But ultimately, when we were studying our Bhakti Vaibhav course, we asked this to Kesha Prabhu. Kesha Prabhu said, yes, chanting is the Yuga Dharma, no doubt, but we cannot chant, we cannot follow the Yuga Dharma if we don't hear. After all, Did we chant first or did we hear first? Most of us heard first and then we started chanting, right? Or even if we would have started chanting for some reason, then the chanting would have only progressed because of our hearing. So hearing in that sense is more important than chanting. If we are chanting but not hearing enough, we will slowly find that our chanting, the quality of our chanting, the quantity of our chanting, the attentiveness of our chanting, everything goes for a toss. So hearing in fact is the basis of our devotional service. Hearing is the basis of our following a regulated lifestyle. In fact, the famous verse which says, Shravanadi Chitta Shuddhe Karilavda. Through Shravan only will the consciousness get purified. Hearing has so many benefits. The most important, and especially in the beginning years of Krishna consciousness, not only that, even in the intermediate years of Krishna consciousness, hearing does the job of removing sanshaya or doubt from our mind. And there are several examples of that. In fact, there are famous examples that Srila Prabhupada used to give, even Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur used to give, about magicians. Where Prabhupada talks about a magician who was there in the United States in New York. He made the entire Statue of Liberty disappear. And everyone was watching and the statue disappeared. Even from the helicopters they could not see the statue. And then he, by his own magical power, he did some mass hypnotism and brought back the Statue of Liberty into vision. So Prabhupada talks about that. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur talks about an example where a magician was invited into the palace of a king, wherein after performing magical feats, the king was so pleased that his wife gave away a lot of gold jewelry to the wife and the children. Now the children were so enamored with that golden jewelry that they started fighting amongst ourselves as to who will own that golden jewelry. And in the process of fighting, one, they chopped each other's heads. And seeing that the wife could not see it, she chopped her head. Seeing that the magician could not see his wife die, and the magician chopped off his head. Okay, and so gross was this whole thing that the king was completely bewildered, and they were gone. So next day they heard that the magician and the wife and the children want to see him, and is he happy with the magic? So the king said, oh, what a relief, they are actually not dead. And he went and saw them, and then the magician showed that they are all alive. So that was another magic the magician showed on top of the magic. Okay. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur quotes this example. So Prabhupada then concludes that if the, and he also, Srila Prabhupada also talks about the famous magician P.C. Sarkar from Bengal, who was invited by the British Royal Majesty to perform a magic, and he obviously, being an Indian, he followed Indian standard time. The Queen was, the Majesty was very particular that he comes at 4 o'clock, he landed up at 5:15. But when the Majesty was very upset with him and said, you are arriving at 5:15, he said, no, I have arrived at 4 o'clock, look at your watches, and the watch showed 4 o'clock. After that they pardoned him. So Prabhupada there says that if a magician can perform, who has probably not even mastered Ashtanga Yoga, he's just doing some material tricks, no, not even at that platform where you can walk on water and all that, if they can perform such feats, why do we have some shy or doubt when we hear that Lord Krishna lifted the Govardhan Hill with his pinky finger? So when we hear from Srila Prabhupada and advanced devotees, even giving these kind of examples and kind of reinforcing our faith in accepting the transcendental pastimes of the Lord, sanshay or doubt goes away from the mind. And when doubt goes away, then faith comes and inspiration follows that. So hearing has this first benefit, doubts are dispelled. Right? Now doubts come not only in the core philosophy, doubts sometimes comes, have I responded to a particular situation in my devotional service in the right way? For example, many times we have issues with devotees and we do something stupid and then we realize, oh my God, should this be the response? The mind always tells us, yes, you gave it back to him, you did the right thing. Because he or she also behaved with you like that, isn't it? So after all, it's good that you gave it back on the spot. So the mind gives us that, those kind of messages. But when we extricate ourselves and we say, no, 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 mind, hang on, let me hear some other view also. I accept, you know, you are my great friend, but let me hear my other friend also, my Paramatma, who is telling me now you hear a class. Okay, and then we hear a class, we'll invariably find that our response was not the best, right? And then we learn. So therefore, many of our doubts in terms of whether we are going on the right track, whether our sadhachar is good or not, one single lecture can tell us whether we responded properly in a situation or not properly. So in that sense, that hearing keeps our own behavior in check, our own responses to various situations, to various stimuli in check. Hearing gives us the required chastisement many times that we need. For example, when we hear, let's say, Shankar Shandas Adhikari Maharaj comes and say, "You rascals, you have taken first initiation. You will not do illicit sex within your homes." You know, when he cuts that, then you really kind of, you know, very seriously after that. No. Maharaj is really very heavy on this. So sometimes, you know, we need such heavy lectures, or we need the sarcasm which is given by Devamrit Swami Maharaj many times. You know, when he says how our mind can trick us and make us think that we are something great, you know, but actually what we are. So we need those kind of cutting lectures, because the duty of a sadhu is to cut. So so to the extent we allow ourselves daily our mind to be cut, then we are safe. Otherwise the mind is very tricky, the mind will take us away. So the solution for the sick mind is Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. That is why we say Nashta Prayashu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, or Vidhunoti Suhrat Satam. All the Abhadrani, everything that is harmful to the heart, because the mind is completely covered by the three modes of material nature, all the time it is. And the three modes of material nature are relentless on the mind. They are relentless. They just don't give us any respite day after day. It comes up with, the mind comes up with new schemes, wherein we become lazy, we become lethargic, or become offensive towards devotees. All this is the function of the mind. So constant hearing is the process by which that mind can always be under check. It's like a parachute which we have to hold on to. If we, the moment we leave that, gravity will act upon us immediately. So the parachute is hearing. The gravity is the force of the mind, Maya, pulling us down into the lower modes. Now this hearing is also the basis of our chanting. And this experience I'm sure most of us have had. At least I have had this. My chanting has been third class and fifth class all the time when my hearing has been third class and fifth class. Directly proportional. There is a direct correlation coefficient of 1.00. So here. So the quality and quantity of chanting both is important. In fact, you know, we were doing a program in Tragineena this Friday, day before yesterday, where someone asked, what is the importance of chanting 16 rounds? Where is the 16 number coming in the scriptures? Obviously, there is no 16 in the scriptures when it comes to chanting. Lord Krishna's message was Satatam Kirtayantam. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, being the merciful incarnation, made it 64. But devotees were not happy with that kind of mercy. We wanted more mercy. So the devotees of the Lord are more merciful than the Lord himself. So Srila Prabhupada made it 32. And when devotees still said, Prabhupada, 32? Prabhupada said, okay, 16. Chalo, jao. Go. So Prabhupada made it 16 from Satatam. From always to 16. And still we find that difficult. So somebody was asking, why 16 rounds? So many years back, Bhurijan Prabhu in a seminar gave a wonderful answer, and that convinced me like nothing else. Bhurijan Prabhu said that when you are young, you fall in love with your paramour, and then you are having a courtship. So the girlfriend is calling the boyfriend, "Can we meet today?" So the boyfriend doesn't ask her, "Yeah, I understand, you know, as a girlfriend and boyfriend, our duty is to meet. But should we meet 1 hour, or what do you think? Can we just, 15 minutes should be okay with you? Do we talk like that? What will happen to the relationship then?" She said, "Do you love me or you don't love me? What is this? You're trying to regulate, you know, our meeting now, right?" So where there is love, there is no question of arithmetic there. So it's not 16, it's not 17, it is not 4, it's not 192, it's nothing. Where there is love, the question of how many rounds to chant doesn't arise at all. So we don't try to put some arithmetical relationship to our time that we want to spend with the Lord. So therefore Prabhupada never said 16 rounds. Prabhupada said minimum 16 rounds. Right? So minimum 16 rounds also, so Prabhupada has not diluted the philosophy in any manner. Minimum 16 rounds also is tends towards infinity in one sense. Right? So he has not compromised the message or marginalized. So the essence is that 16 rounds will at least bring us to the platform of chanting above 16 rounds. 16 rounds is just the bare minimum. It should bring us to the platform of Nitya Smaranam of the Lord. So in that sense, hearing is the basis of our chanting. In his book, Japa Reform book, His Holiness Satswarup Maharaj says that quantity of chanting also brings in quality of chanting. Because when we are chanting inattentively, we have to understand that it's not only the effort that we put in that brings us from inattentive to attentive chanting, but it is also the Lord's mercy that He gives us taste for the holy name. So the Lord sees the struggle and He awards us with that taste by which then we are able to do attentive chanting. So it's not the principles of Ashtanga Yoga or Jnana Yoga. By one's own dint of effort, then one is getting, some outcome. Here, for a devotee, outcomes are always two, like Damodar Lila, endeavor and mercy. So mercy is definitely required. But mercy will not come without endeavor. So Satswarup Das Maharaj says, more time that you want to invest with the Lord, more mercy He will give to us. So that way, in that sense, quantity begets quality of chanting. So that is the second aspect of hearing. Why hearing is important? Because unless we hear these messages, now without that we have heard it, now at least we know something about how we have to chant. So how did we, so therefore hearing begets chanting. That is the second point. Also, when we sit for chanting, usually what happens is, that is a time when we are faced with all our anxieties and fears. At least when I sit for chanting, especially on Monday morning, my first thing is, okay, what meetings do I have in the morning? Okay, what presentations do I have to make? What do I have to say to my client today? How do I have to give direction to my team? So all these thoughts come flooding. And then after that it all said, okay, after nicely, then after that, okay, 6 o'clock, I'm out of that hell hole. Office. Okay, then what do I do? Okay, oh, I have my Bhakti Vaibhav, Vedanta. Okay, what chapter am I doing? So all these plans happen. And then by the time I go to bed, then this will happen. And we are faced with all our anxieties. Okay, for example, somewhere it would have said that Australia is coming to a recession now and this and that. And all those things, what will happen to my job? What will happen 6 months down the line, 10 months down the line? What will happen to my son? Will he do well? What will happen to my daughter? So all these anxieties of our life, when we sit down to chant, that comes. But it is said that hearing is the cure for all these anxieties as well. That is why in Canto 2, when the ultimate anxiety for everyone is survival. Or death is the ultimate anxiety for all of us. So when Parikshit Maharaj is asking in second canto to Srila Sukadeva Goswami, what is the duty of a person about to die, in the set of verses, in the second canto, the famous verse comes, Tasmad Bharata Sarvatma Bhagavan Ishwaro Harihi Shrotavya Kirtitavyasta Smartavyascha Ichchata Abhayam, which means that the doubtless and fearless way is to hear the names of the Lord. Of course, he also says later on that it is hearing and chanting which will dispel all fear. So hearing also dispels fear that we have. When the fear is dispelled, then our chanting also becomes a little bit more attentive. Like that. Hearing transforms our characters and our behavior. Hearing builds our value systems. Many times we see that that some non-devotees who are not practicing Krishna consciousness may have better values than us. For example, they may have the principle, as Muralidhar Prabhu once mentioned, our Muralidhar Prabhu here. He mentioned that many times devotees have the syndrome that everything, Ishavashyam Idam Sarvam, our money is all Krishna's, therefore I will not swipe the pass in the tram. Right? My key pass I don't have to swipe because I'm a devotee, I'm transcendental. So, but on the other hand, we may find someone who is not a devotee, who is very principled, very honest. They will say, okay, I will swipe. Now, what is the quality of a brahmana? To be honest in one's dealings. Sometimes we will find even devotees who are practicing devotional service will not have this simple principle, basic principle of honesty will not be there in their lives. So therefore, hearing, by constantly hearing from advanced Vaishnavas, they will underscore the importance that we have to actually be a good human being also. It is not that if we are a devotee, we can be anything just because we are a devotee. We can behave whichever way we want with anyone and just because we are chanting the holy names of the Lord. As devotees, we are ambassadors of Srila Prabhupada. We carry ISKCON. So how we behave, how we conduct ourselves at our workplace, how we conduct ourselves with various people, how we relate to the common man, we are actually all the time we are preaching. So there is a big responsibility on us. So when we keep hearing these messages, then we are compelled to have some basic value systems in our life. We are compelled to constantly enhance our character. We are compelled to behave ourselves. And in that aspect, Srila Prabhupada says, the culmination of that behavior is that ultimately we become very simple. We don't remain complex individuals. And what is the identity of a person who is very simple? A simple person is one who does not seek any respect. The identity of the characteristic of simplicity is that a simple devotee does not do anything out of ulterior motive. So not doing out of ulterior motive, anything out of ulterior motive, is the direct function of simplicity of the devotee. So that is underscored in Srila Prabhupada's purport. Also, other benefit of hearing is hearing helps us deal with difficult situations in our life, be it in our professional life, be it at office, or be it in our family life, or be it in our devotional life itself, in terms of relationships amongst devotees. For example, I was hearing a lecture by someone who is a very advanced grihastha. Of course, one of the most advanced grihasthas we have heard is Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He is here. So, many devotees ask, can we read Bhagavatam in office? I want to nicely read Bhagavatam and come home, just do something, you know, in office, just survive somehow. Fine, that is good in one sense. But when we go to work, we are taking salary from the organization. So therefore, we have to see how Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur conducted himself at workplace. Was he reading Bhagavatam? Or was he solving court cases? He was doing his job. What he was also doing is that he was, after coming home, his whole house was transformed into Vaikuntha. So there is a time to study Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a time to chant the holy name, and there is a time to go to office and do our job properly. Having taken salary from the company, if we are not careful in executing our responsibilities on the job, the first thing people will tell you that your philosophy is bogus. Because you are saying something and you are doing something else. If we are not trustworthy in our jobs, how can we tell them that we are trustworthy in whatever we are speaking to them about Krishna consciousness? So therefore, it is very important, and this I heard in a lecture by a very advanced devotee who is a very good performer on his job at workplace. This person is doing his job very meticulously, and he is also a very respected devotee who is involved in a lot of counseling in the congregation. So when we hear from such a person, then we get the right perspectives on how, in what mood we should approach our jobs. Many times, honestly, two days back, you know, when I was walking towards my workplace, I was seeing the building and I said, oh my God, you know, I have to come to this office. But then suddenly, you know, somehow I got this message, because I was hearing something saying that this is your kshetra. Krishna talks about kshetra and kshetragya. This is your field of activities ordained to you by the Lord. There is a plan that you have to come to this job. So the moment you see it like that, oh yeah, Krishna wants me to come here and do this at this point in time. He has given me this. Then the whole mood changes. Okay. Now I am going to work for the Lord now. So when I go into this office, I am not going to see it as if it's a hellhole. So that definition immediately changed in my mind. And I went in with a very positive mindset. And trust me, the whole day I was very happy, you know, doing my activities without getting impacted. Same stress was there, same people were there around me. But that small mindset, because of hearing a class, changed it. So that is important. So when we are dealing with difficult situations in family life, devotional life, professional life, hearing helps us accept the situation which Lord puts us into. Accept whatever that is there and be happy with whatever we get. So it helps us develop the attitude of gratitude. Otherwise, we go into lamentation all the time. Oh, my life is like that, I am unhappy, this, that. That means your hearing is not good. It is third class. The moment we go into lamentation mode, then nobody can save us. Sometimes when we are lamenting, devotees can give us good advice, saying that take shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam. But if we give more importance to our mind and our lamentation than to the instructions given by the authorities, then we are actually having a medicine which we don't want to take. And we only want to be happy in our lamentation. Then what will happen? After some time, mind will start taking us away from Krishna consciousness, and there will be no hope for us after that. So, therefore, by constantly hearing, we have to constantly hit that mind with the broomstick, so that we don't fall in love with our own lamentations, and we come above the mode of ignorance to the higher modes. Hearing is the basis of preaching. Our preaching, the effectiveness or efficacy of our preaching is a direct function of our hearing. Whether it is frontline preaching that we are doing, giving a class or doing a Bhakti Vriksha program or speaking in the temple or wherever, or whether it is leading without speaking by our own personal example, that is a function of how nicely we are hearing. And this is true whether we are in congregation or whether we are in workplace or whether we are outside. As I said, mentioned, respecting our work, performing our duties diligently, having a cool temperament, respecting people, not trying to control others, not having an exploitative mentality, being fair. All these qualities, if a devotee shows, then people are going to be attracted to Krishna consciousness. So hearing is the basis of that. In fact, our hearing also is a function of our hearing also determines how we do our services. So we all know that we all got into various services in Krishna consciousness largely from the fact that we heard about the importance of those service in some class. So in fact, the initial service that we do gives impetus for hearing, but the impetus for doing service comes from hearing. So both are interconnected. For example, that famous verse, Shushusho Saddhadhanasya Vasudeva Katharuchihi, which means by serving the devotees, one gets affinity for hearing the messages of the Lord. So in one sense, service leads to hearing, but constant hearing gives us the motivation and sustenance to do our services. So both are very interconnected in that way. And ultimately, the most important reason for hearing is to develop love for Krishna. Most important, right? So, developing attraction for the Lord. If you see Rukmini developed her attraction to Krishna and she took a decision to elope with him. Simply by hearing. The wives of the Yajnik Brahmanas, they said, we have always heard about you. So, even when the Brahmanas studied all the scriptures and they were doing all the yajnas, they refused to give food to Krishna and Balaram. Whereas the wives, simply when they knew they were in the forest, they rushed with everything, right? And Prabhupada writes, they had heard about Lord Krishna and they fell in love with him. So, ultimately, the most important reward of hearing is that hearing gives love of God. So, we talked about why to hear. Now, who to hear from? Prabhupada also talks here. Prabhupada says, we should hear from authentic sources who speak in deference to the scriptures and who do not speculate. So, that's the first aspect of who to hear from. The second aspect, amongst those who are authentic, who to hear from? If you go to ISKCON Desire Tree, there are 56,000 lectures there. Or I don't know, probably more, I don't know. I'm just throwing some number, maybe I'm exaggerating, but there are thousands of lectures. Now, who to hear from? You get confused, what to hear, right? Should I hear Bhakti Chaitanya Swami? Should I hear Chaitanya Charan Prabhu? Should I hear, you know, this Maharaj? Should I hear that Maharaj? Should I hear? So many glorious devotees are there. So many glorious lectures are there. Who to hear from? So, of course, we have to have some kind of a filtering criteria because we have that much amount of time and we can, usually most devotees can hear one lecture a day, I mean, especially if you are in working life and all, maximum sometimes two, right? So, speakers who inspire us in our Krishna consciousness, and we know who are those people who give us maximum inspiration. So there is nothing wrong in hearing from those speakers who inspire us in Krishna consciousness. Because at the end of the day, the goal of hearing is to get more and more inspired in our Krishna consciousness, so that our sadhana, seva and sadachar improve. So, who to hear from? From authentic sources, from speakers who inspire us. Also, there is an aspect of daily confidential hearing. For example, if you see in Nectar of Instruction, towards the end, Rupa Goswami says that at the end of the day, it's important to choose one devotee, one Raganuga devotee, who you want to follow. So, you want to mold your whole thinking, lifestyle, values around that devotee. Because that devotee inspires you most among so many other devotees, all of who inspire you. And you want to be like him. So all of us will have and should have at least one person who we really want to be like that person in Krishna consciousness. And having chosen that person, then daily confidential hearing means that whether you hear anyone's lectures or not, that one person's lecture you must hear every day. Because after all, don't you want to follow that one person and mold yourself like that person in your Krishna conscious graph? Yes. So there is your hearing. And that could be one's own spiritual master. That could be somebody in this congregation who inspires us. It could be someone from somewhere else who inspires us. But that is our daily confidential hearing. So who to hear from? What to hear? philosophy that increases our conviction and faith, that lifts our values and our behavior. What to hear? Hear others' realizations on issues and challenges we are facing at different life cycle stages. So for example, let's take next 1 week. What do I want to hear? There are so many things. I can hear about Pralambasura, or I can hear about a metaphysical class from Chaitanya Charan Prabhu, for example. A logical class, a scientific class. Right? So you can hear Leela, you can hear philosophy. What do I hear? So, one aspect of what to hear is, it's good to hear on subject matters where we are struggling in our spiritual life. That will give us some idea of what we need to hear. For example, last few months, my chanting, has not been very good. So I was continuously hearing japa talks from various devotees. Burijan Prabhu's lectures on chanting. There are so many devotees like that. There are many devotees who are very good chanters, who are known to be very good chanters. So just hearing that. Or for example, if I want to do book distribution, then I'm struggling in my enthusiasm to do it, or I'm not able to do as much books as I would like to do, then hear from very experienced book distributors, who not only will tell you the art of book distribution, but who will tell you what are the values we should have, what is the mood we should have in book distribution. Book distribution is not only an art. Book distribution is what we are, in one sense. So, like for example, someone was mentioning about Vijay Prabhu, the mood that he set for book distribution. I don't know who was speaking there, but I heard some very wonderful points. So, where he was mentioning that it is about, your consciousness. It's not only about your expertise. Expertise could be a function of purity, because Prabhupada says purity is essence. Where purity is the essence, even if we don't have the expertise, yoga kshemam vahamyam, Krishna will provide that where we lack. But purity is the essence. Okay. So depending upon what our challenge is at some point in time, we can identify those challenges, and then we will come to a conclusion on, okay, what I should hear at this point in time. So attentive chanting could be a problem. Relationships. Some people struggle with relationships. So it's good to hear from devotees who are loved by everyone. So because they are the best in relationships then. And those messages will come. It is sometimes our challenge could be balancing spiritual responsibilities and material responsibilities. So we know that we should hear from devotees who are doing that very well in their lives. Sense control. How to do. So sometimes our problem will be overeating. Right? So then we hear many, many classes on how to control the senses and how to regulate our eating, taking care of our health, the importance of health in Krishna consciousness. So that could be a theme. That what we could hear. So these are, how do we choose what to hear? There are other lectures which will specifically give us impetus to do specific kind of services. For example, certain lectures could help us in our services in spreading the mission. For example, if I know that I have to give a seminar, for example, somewhere, suppose you have to give a seminar, let's say on surrender, for example. Then you know that this is something that Prabhupada wants you to do, to spread the mission. Then we specifically hear more lectures around surrender, so we are more effective when we are communicating. And finally, what to hear? Pastimes that develop our love for the Lord and inspire us to serve Him and His devotees. So all the time, our hearing should not be only for giving a class or for solving our problems. The basic goal of hearing is to develop love of Godhead. So our hearing should have a good component of philosophy and pastimes, such that we are balancing. Otherwise, too much philosophy will make us very theoretical. And too much pastimes only sometimes can make us sentimental. So there has to be a good balance. Because there is good amount of philosophy also we should know to be able to appreciate and extract the right juice from the pastime. That is why Srila Prabhupada said, don't jump directly to 10th canto. So we have to go through all the philosophy of the 3rd canto and 4th canto and 5th canto to then be able to appreciate what's going on in the 10th canto. So there is a balance that is required. What to hear? What frequency to hear? That's the other part. What is the frequency? Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, not occasional Bhagavata Sevaya. So hearing should be done always. However, having said that, on a practical level, we should always try to increase the frequency in which we are hearing. Hearing becomes very, very important. The frequency with which we hear becomes very important in two situations in life. Okay, one situation is when we are very low in our life, and another situation is when life is going first class. Both are dangerous situations. Both are situations where we will leave our Krishna consciousness. So these both are very dangerous points. So hearing, when to hear in low and when we are high. Also, our frequency to hear, by compelling ourselves into courses. For example, if in my own life, if I would not have compelled myself 10 years back to the Bhakti Vaibhav course conducted by Kesha Prabhu. No? I was very fortunate. When I came to Melbourne, I got this opportunity. Kesha Prabhu was just starting the Bhakti Vaibhav course, starting from Canto 1. He had just finished Bhakti Shastri. And then so when we had completed our Bhakti Shastri in Toronto, when we came here, it was just there, ready. Bhakti Vaibhav was just starting. So I'm very fortunate. So last 12 years, we have been doing Bhakti Vaibhav and now we are doing Bhakti Vedanta. We are in the 10th canto. So by compelling that I will do this course, come what may, it has helped. Personally, I have been very benefited by this. Because when you compel yourself to a course, when you compel yourself to write exams, and Srila Prabhupada says in the booklet of Bhakti Vedanta, Prabhupada writes, we must have exams. So for a person like me who is not very disciplined in studying the scriptures, for me exams gives me that slap. I know that I have to study seriously because there is an exam that is coming. I have to write that essay. I have to do that assignment. Okay? So for me personally it has helped. So in that sense my hearing helped. It helped me. At least twice a week then hearing from Keshava Prabhu, Srimad Bhagavatam. That is the bare minimum. Okay? Sometimes now on a practical level I am not able to do twice, but my wife hears, she tells me, and then I go the next day and I tell her. So that way, we are managing. But at least there is some regularity. We know we are accountable to someone. Because I know if I don't go to the class, Kesha Prabhu hammers me. Next time I can't see him, I have to run away somewhere, He'll catch me. What's going on? He asks me. So at least I'm answerable to someone. So when we make ourselves answerable to someone for every component of our devotional service, then our devotional service will become in check. Otherwise our mind is our guru. Then we are finished. It will tell you, at least you went for the last 10 years. Now you can relax. That's all the mind will tell. And we will drift away from there. So therefore, committing ourselves to being observed by others. When to hear? When to hear? The best time is to start the morning by hearing. In the temple, in the physical association of devotees. If you can't do that, at least hear the classes remotely. Thankfully, our temple has provided a wonderful opportunity where the video of these lectures is being live transmitted right now. And if not, if you are in a car or traveling somewhere, the radio app is there. So you can hear there also. So, very, very thankful to the temple. That's one of the biggest things. Very proud of that our temple is providing that facility and very thankful also for that. For people like me, it helps quite a lot. Because sometimes I'm not able to come. So it really helps me. Even our Bhakti Bhanu Maharaj seminar was also transmitted. So first day I could come, second day I couldn't come. I was very happy because I could at least sit and hear from home. So when to hear? So many times people say that, especially in Grihastha life, we see that there is no time to hear lectures. Okay, but we can get time to hear when we are in the tram. We are not doing anything, we are just sitting. So plug the earphones and hear. We can hear when we are ironing clothes in the house. We can hear when we are folding clothes in the house. All these activities take time. I'm sure every Grihastha will admit this, right? We can hear when we are washing utensils in the house. We can hear when we are brooming the house. So all that we need is plug this and keep hearing. So you don't have to, if you're really so busy, or if you're really so busy, we can't generate exclusive time to hear, then we could multitask and hear to begin with. By hearing like this, then we will develop the motivation to hear exclusively. How to hear? Hearing is done in an introspective and contemplative mood. Recently, I was hearing a lecture where the title of the lecture was Expectation of the Spiritual Master from His Disciples. So as a part of that, this particular personality was saying that my expectation is that you all follow the four regulative principles to begin with. Number two, my expectation is you very carefully chant your rounds like a pearl. Very carefully chant your rounds. Develop the mood of being a servant of the servant. Never try to control anyone by your behavior. Then, Whatever you hear, always understand that it is the personal instruction for you. Don't seek personal instructions out of general lectures, outside of general lectures. That means you are thinking that the general lectures are for other people and I need some other personal instruction outside of that. So that was very important point. So when we say, Trinadapi Sunichena Tarorhiva Sahishnuna, Amanina Manadena Ketaniya Sadahari, don't look at the other person. See, Maharaj is telling this for you. Not like that. It is for us. Otherwise, so anything that is told, as long as you take it as if it is for you and you introspect where I am with respect to this instruction which has been personally given to me, then that is the mood by which you can assimilate maximum from that hearing. After hearing, introspect and contemplate. Not just say, Bahut ananda aaya pravachan mein. No? Very nice lecture. Introspect and contemplate for self-improvement, not how others can improve after hearing the lecture, how I can improve after hearing the lecture. Instructions are personal for my improvement. Hearing should, how to hear? Hear with application orientation, not just theoretical orientation, how I can apply. It should give us, then every class should give us a next action item in our life. If that is not there, then that hearing is of no use. Next action item is what? From today, at least one action item for me. Like that. So that is about hearing. Then Prabhupada in this purport talks about chanting. Prabhupada talks about kirtan and japa. Kirtan which is done with others. And japa which is done for our own progress. Now aspects of kirtan. Five aspects of kirtan. Doing with others. Kirtan usually we start saying that, you know, sometimes we ask in our Bhakti Vriksha programs also, what is the thing you enjoy most in this Bhakti Vriksha program? And everyone says, kirtan. I enjoy kirtan most. And even when we come to the temple, we say, I come regularly to the temple. I enjoy your kirtan so much, you know, people will say. Especially when someone like Kadamakaran Maharaj is just singing. Even before he starts singing, people are dancing. Like that. The moment that harmonium starts, we all start dancing. He doesn't even have to sing, you know. There's some magic, you know. A great singer, a great kirtanier. So, but why do we hear from Kadamakana Swami Maharaj? Kadamakana Maharaj, when he is singing, he is in a different mood. But I am coming to enjoy Kadamakana Maharaj's singing. For example, I am taking Kadamakana Maharaj, okay, because he is such a great singer. So, when what happens is, when Maharaj's kirtan is over, someone else is started to singing, then I go and sit in the courtyard. Right? So, which means, our mood towards kirtan is, how can the kirtan give my ear and senses pleasure? I dance ecstatically. You dance ecstatically, but who enjoyed? You enjoyed at the end of the day. Did you dance for the pleasure of the Lord or did you dance because of your love for music? So that's a question we have to ask. Why am I in kirtan? So the mood of kirtan is for the enjoyment of the Lord. Our dancing in front of the deities is for the pleasure of the deities. My dear Lord, I am dancing for your pleasure. I am chanting for your pleasure. Like that. Kirtan should not also be for demonstrating our skills in music. Otherwise that will take us away. We are in the room playing musical instruments or singing, but we are actually outside somewhere else completely. So the mood of chanting. So the mood of kirtan should be for self-purification, for our purification. The mood should be for the pleasure of the Lord. Our self-purification, number one, and for the pleasure of the Lord. Of course, recently we were doing a seminar on how to become more effective as a preacher. As a preacher, one can become more effective by developing kirtan skills. So, there is nothing wrong in developing kirtan skills. There is nothing wrong in trying to improve our rag, tal, whatever that is required for being a good singer. But the goal of that should be that we are a more effective instrument in attracting people to Krishna Bhakti. So for that reason, if we are trying to improve our kirtan skills, that is fine. Fairly, perfectly acceptable. Because then the mood of chanting is to become more effective in serving Lord Chaitanya's movement. So that is kirtan. Japa. Japa, the important japa should be done, obviously Prabhupada has reinforced always, japa should be done during the morning hours, during Brahma Murta. Japa should be done in the association of devotees. Even if done at home, husband and wife sit together and chant japa. Japa should be done attentively and avoiding the 10 offenses. We know that. Japa should be done in a humble state of mind. Depending, with lot of dependence on the holy name. Because 99% of our progress is the quality of our chanting, which again is dependent on the quality of our hearing. We read that many times, we hear that in many classes. So, Prabhupada underscores the importance of chanting in this purport. Avoiding the association of non-devotees. Now, this has to be very carefully understood. Prabhupada, obviously we know, asat sang tyag e Vaishnava achar. So, it is mentioned that non-devotee association can be very harmful. We know the famous verse, na tathascha bhaven moho bandascha anya prasangataha yoshit sangad yata pumso yata tat sangi sangataha. Which means that out of all the attraction for a man is the attraction for a woman. Out of all the things that allure us in this material world is the attraction towards the opposite sex. But it is said more important than attachment to the opposite sex, more dangerous than the attachment to opposite sex is attachment to a person who is attached to the opposite sex. Because such a person, even if you are trying to control, will say, bindas, no, let us do it. Come on, man. Kya hota hai? Come, let's go. No problem. Like that. So such a person can drag. That is why even with our children, when they become teenagers and when then they go out into the outside world to public schools or wherever, the biggest fear for a parent is what? Who is my child associating with? Who is influencing my child? Because the children are so, especially in teenage years, they are so sensitive that they start admiring someone. When the child starts admiring someone, the child starts following that person and tries to become like that person. And God forbid, if that person is someone who is attached to the opposite sex, then our children can get easily influenced. So even our child is not attached to the opposite sex, that's fine. But if the child is admiring someone who is attached to the opposite sex, that association is even more dangerous. Because that child can influence the thinking of our child against the child's natural thinking, which may not be attachment to the opposite sex. So yoshit sangat yatha pumso yatha tat sangi sangataha. So Prabhupada says, people who are espouse material enjoyment are even more dangerous. So such association should be always avoided. There are two types of people. People who are ignorant of Krishna Bhakti and people who are inimical to Krishna Bhakti. When he says asat sang tyag, Prabhupada is mentioning to people who are inimical to Krishna, consciously inimical to Krishna Bhakti. But people who are ignorant, our duty is actually to associate with them. That is our service. Our whole mood is Goshti Anandi. We are not Bhajanandi saints. We are not followers of Bhajanandi saints. We are followers of Goshti Anandi saints. Our mood is Goshti Anandi. Our mood is preaching. The whole purpose of ISKCON is to spread the holy name. And how can we spread the holy name if we don't give our association to people who are not so inclined to Krishna consciousness? So therefore, this has to be very carefully understood. So those who are innocent and those who are unaware of the principle, then it is our duty to give our association. And again, that famous verse comes: Prema Maitri Kripa Upeksha Yaha Karoti Samadhyamam. So otherwise, we ourselves cannot transcend from the platform of Kanishta to Madhyama unless we start taking to the service of preaching. So that is so much for association of non-devotees. And finally, Prabhupada concludes the purport by saying, in doing all the above, even if you manage to do all this nicely, hearing, chanting, association with devotees, so on and so forth, let pride not overcome us at any point in time. Prabhupada concludes saying, Vaishnavas have taught us by the personal example. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught that one should be humbler than the grass on the street and more tolerant than the tree. One should not be proud or falsely puffed up. Only in this way, even after doing all these things, one can advance in spiritual life. If we do all these things and we become proud that we are doing all these things, again we are not going to advance. So when I went to Jagannath Puri last time, that Panda who was taking me, he directly took me in front of Lord Jagannath. And he just told me this. He said, Lord Jagannath is very merciful. And I was standing right in front of Lord Jagannath in Puri. And he said, Lord Jagannath is very merciful. He pardons everything, he said. Except one thing. And I asked him what? He doesn't pardon pride in the devotee. He pardons inefficiencies. You are breaking the regulative principles. You are imperfect. Everything is okay. But if you do everything very nicely and you are proud, he doesn't pardon it. He doesn't give you mercy. So that just stuck with me. And recently I have been studying the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. I am going through the section of Govardhan Lila, where very nicely, Prabhupada hammers, through the Krishna book, Prabhupada disciples have taken that purport into these purports in Srimad Bhagavatam. that how Lord deals with Indra's pride. Prabhupada said Indra developed the mood of Ishamani. Ishamani means that I am the Lord. So therefore, Prabhupada writes very interesting in the purport that once you have decided, see, for all of us, we are all at different levels of Krishna consciousness. I'm sure most of us will agree that not all of us will be in the transcendental mode. At least I am not. So we are all in that 81 category right now. Different bhakti in different modes of material nature. But we have to transcend beyond that. So Prabhupada writes there, the reason Krishna chastised Indra in that way, he shamed him, was because Indra was imperfect, no doubt about it. But Indra's goal was still to attain Krishna. Because Indra is a devotee, otherwise obviously, why will Krishna give him that position? Okay, Indra's ultimate goal is Krishna. So as long as your goal is attaining Krishna, Krishna will not leave you even if you try to leave him. So he will constantly bring you down. So even if you are not humble, he will make you look like a turkey one day. So that he will do. Okay, that is why it is said, Neha Vikramana Sosti. You will never fail. He will drag you by the hair to the spiritual world. Even if you are proud, then he will give two slaps. And that is why it's the biggest blessing for all of us that we are in this movement. Because whatever we are, whatever fallen we have a hope that Krishna, either sweetly or through chastisement, he will bring us somehow. Through inspiration, through the vani of various realized devotees, in ISKCON, or through slaps. He will know how to detach us. He knows how to give us the right kick at the right time. Like that. So we are very safe in this moment. So in conclusion, the very interesting purport by Srila Prabhupada here, Lord Kapila Dev is instructing Devahuti on how, what are the practical aspects of Krishna consciousness by which we can lift our devotional life outside the realms of the three modes or outside the subjugation of the three modes of material nature and lift ourselves to transcendence. And Prabhupada is very nicely, having understood Lord Kapila Dev's mood, is giving us these brilliant purports which help us understand what Lord Kapila Dev's message is to Devahuti and to all of us. So I'll stop here and ask if any questions or comments. Very difficult question, Prabhu. And I myself in that struggle. So I don't have a right answer because it's a struggle. I don't know of a right answer for that. But what I try to do is to take advice from senior devotees, including life. You have seen life more than us, all of us. And probably you are asking a question probably for the benefit of all of us. So for me, I will... whenever I had this dilemma, I would consult devotees. Whether I do really, my mind will always tell me that I need something. So it is best to validate with somebody, is this really important? For example, there is always this question of how much to save money before retirement. This is a constant question, amongst devotees. How much should be the bank balance so that we can do full-time Krishna consciousness? Because frankly, we are all fed up with corporate life. There is no doubt about that. Nobody will say that, I am looking forward to going to office on Monday morning. Right? Nobody is going to say that. Okay? It's a dog-eat-dog world out there. Okay? So the question is, we have to... For example, Devamrit Maharaj, many years back, he told one principle. He said one principle, which stuck to me and I always tried to take that, I'm attempting to follow that principle. He said that don't change your job for any reason in this world if that job is facilitating your Krishna consciousness. Don't change it just because you are getting a more lucrative offer, because that is how it tricks, Maya tricks. Okay, there will be a house you have seen, you have set your mind on the house, and then suddenly there is an income stream that is coming in your head, and then there is a job offer which is coming which matches that income stream, and then you get trapped into that. So in one sense, these challenges keep coming regularly. The mind keeps throwing up these artificial necessities for all of us. Like Prabhu rightly pointed out, we may say, I will buy a big house which I don't need for two people, three people, four people. Why do we need a Taj Mahal, you know, house, right? Which comes to bite us after that. Okay. So sometimes when we are doing something very nicely, when we are using our services and our facilities in our house for preaching, and we stop doing those services and we still accumulate a higher possession, then somehow Krishna arranges to teach us a very valuable lesson, you know, in such cases. So through hearing from senior devotees, through the slaps that we are getting, our Paramatma will tell us constantly, you know, that you are not going in the right direction. You don't need this in your life like that. For example, here, you know, our Bhakta Bhavan is there. You know, what is the size of a Bhakta Bhavan room? What is the size of, you know, our Nityanand Priya Prabhu's house or Kripa Siddha Prabhu's house, right? From there, great preaching is going on, right? So when I look at that example, I'm thinking, do you really need a big house to preach, or do you need that sincerity, you know, that fire in the belly to preach? Fine, you can do it out of a small house. There is a model here in Melbourne, you know, next to, just few feet away from the temple, right? So do I really need? No. Therefore, for preaching purposes, we don't really need opulence. And yesterday only somebody was telling, right? Was it Gopal Vandesh Prabhu who was mentioning this? That someone was mentioning, I need money to Srila Prabhupada. Was it in yesterday's class? Yeah? I need money for preaching. And then Prabhupada said, why do you need? To Gaur Govind Maharaj, right? Why do you need money? Krishna will provide. So on one hand, yes, that complete, on one hand is that complete dependence that the Lord will provide. But sometimes what we have also seen is that because we are saying that the Lord will provide, we don't do our duties also properly. For example, I'll not go to office. I'll take my job very easily because at the end of the day, Krishna will provide. You know, that is escapism. That is not responsibility. So there is this side of the spectrum, there is that side of the spectrum. Or sometimes I will live my life very simple because I don't want to work. That is also not the right idea. And when you say simple, what happens is devotees live very irresponsibly. What happens is they don't take their study seriously. They don't take their career seriously. Then they also develop a desire to marry, and some lady is dependent on them, and they are not able to bring the right income to the house, and then there is fight in the house, and then Krishna consciousness also goes for a toss because of that. So it's a fine balance. It's a fine balance of how much simplicity and how much opulence is required. Too much opulence, which takes us away from Krishna consciousness, is dangerous. And too less facilities, still with the desire to, you know, have a reasonable lifestyle to sustain Krishna consciousness, is also very dangerous when you don't have that. So both these extremes can kill Krishna consciousness. So there is no single answer for that. It is a balance. One principle which I benefited quite a lot is, in one lecture I heard that a devotee should live in artificial poverty. Induced poverty. Induced poverty means your lifestyle should not be sensitive to your income. So when your income goes high also, your lifestyle should just be the same. Just because now you have more facilities, don't change that wooden dining table into an ivory dining table at home. Okay? That wooden, maybe it's having one leg dangling here and there, but if you can nail it and then use it, that's fine, good enough. You can still sit and eat prasadam on that table. So that is one good example. So not to increase our lifestyle. I don't know whether I answered or not this question, but these are some of the things that just quickly come to mind. You know. We would like to be guided by you, Prabhu. How did you manage this in your life?
I've covered it pretty well. It's a very complicated topic, actually. Because, like you say, there's different strokes, different folks. So some people, they cannot live in the world. They cannot tolerate it. But some people, they can live very simply, they don't care about it. So it depends upon our own personal needs in some cases. The underlying thing.
Thank you.
You mentioned about listening, importance of listening and hearing. So is there any ideal metrics that you could adopt to measure the quality of your listening? What's the metrics you use to measure your quality?
The metrics which I use to measure the quality of my hearing is the quality of my chanting. That's number one, and how I deal with devotees. Okay, the moment we have problems with devotees, that means our hearing is not proper, our chanting is not proper. We can be assured of this. The moment, like, you know, Stephen Covey says in the Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, he talks about proactiveness as the first quality of a leader. Proactive means and the ability to choose your response and not be influenced or subjugated by circumstance. So the ability to choose our response is a direct function of how we are hearing and therefore how we are chanting. So you can clearly see what kind of enthusiasm do I have to do my services. The days that I don't feel enthusiastic to do something, I know that my hearing is gone, my chanting is gone. So again, those three parameters always: sadhana, seva and sadachar. How is my sadhana, my chanting, how is my services, how enthusiastically I am doing, and how I am dealing with people while I am doing those services. So these three can give us, definitely we will come to know where we are. I mean, we cannot not know our progress in Krishna consciousness at any point in time. We can pretend we don't know, but we know. We know, always we know. There's no doubt about that. Mathi, sorry, you raised your hand.
You mentioned Sadhana and Sadhacha,
yes,
which is a great form to remember. But do you remember, where did you derive that from?
Sadhana, Seva and Sadachar. I studied it in a book called as Essence of Bhagavad Gita by one devotee whose name is Radhesham Prabhu. So actually 9:15, I'll stop here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Jai Nitai Gaur Premanandi.